Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? It is a good morning, ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome in. It's the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate Tuesday morning live from Charlotte, North Carolina. This is the Fan Upstate. Happy Tuesday, my dudes and dudettes. I hope you are all exceptionally well. Hope you are just out there living your best life so far this morning. Hope that you are both rocking and rolling this AM if you're one of those people that's got to be up and at them at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm glad to be here with you, as is, I assume, though I haven't asked them yet. Let's do so right now. Back in the network studio, holding down the fort, the guy in charge of quite literally everything. The Alpha and the Omega, the Fan Upstate, the Sultan of Sound, the Wizard of Wave, the Professor of Perfection, the Content Cash Cow himself, Lonzo's here as well. What up, Zo?
Hey, I am, first of all, there he is. I hear
there
that voice.
Is.
I hear that voice. There he is.
I'm feeling a little more confident this morning. I'll tell you why coming up in a minute, but keep going.
Also, a trip cam. There's a chair in the way.
The thing is moved over. They slid it over a little bit. They made it more. It's more diagonal across the walkway now.
Is that your chair, though?
This is at our table. This
so you can move it just a little.
I'm just saying. I can bring it a little bit closer to me. They moved the bar thing. They moved the little thing.
Oh, there we go. That's good. That's
right
good
there?
Right there. Yeah,
right.
That's good.
Here, I can
okay.
slide that over
yeah,
a little
yeah,
bit
yeah.
more.
I just, we need trip cam up just in case.
For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, come to our stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, YouTube, The Fan Upstate, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook or YouTube or Twitch. We have the stream up and live. Yesterday we noticed, I noticed before the show started, but I realized once the stream began, behind me, because I'm in the middle of Media Row, I'm in the radio pit, which is downstairs in the main lobby, and I'm on the kind of the outside row of radio station tables here in Radio Pit, Radio Row, whatever you want to call it. And behind me, they ran a power strip from the wall that comes into the pit to provide power to all the tables that are around me. Well, over the top of this power strip that they've run, they have put this black piece of vulcanized rubber that is a guard to keep people from stepping on or tripping over or unplugging this thing from the wall, which in the afternoons would take anywhere from 7 to 10 radio stations off the air immediately. And as funny as that would be, nobody in radio wants to deal with that. So they covered it up with this little black, I don't know what to call it. It's like a little black rubber dome that goes over the top of it. That's a little bit more sturdy than, you know, covering it with electrical tape, which is what poor people in bands on stage do. Me. And yesterday, this thing it took out everybody. All right, there were people tripping over this thing left and right, one after the next. And when we started the show, I realized that if I angled my camera the right way, that you would see not just my beautiful body in front of you on camera, but you would also watch everybody that had to try to step over or completely miss this thing and nearly wipe out. I will say this, though. I was here yesterday until about 3:30. That is when the Florida State contingent, the last school to be featured yesterday, that is when their contingent wrapped up. And then I came back up here, went back to the hotel, rested up, did a little bit of work, got ready for today's show. Then I came back up here to sit in on the last hour of Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel so the three of us could kind of kick around ACC Media Days a little bit. And I was here until about 7:30, 7:45 last night, just kind of chatting it up with some of the other media folks that are here. And what I can say, Zoe, is probably saw about over the course of the day, which was from 4 a.m. yesterday till about 3:30, and then from about 6 p.m. till about 7:30. So sitting on about 12 hours I was in this building yesterday, I saw, I'm estimating, about 40 people trip over that thing, but zero of them went all the way to the ground, which makes me feel a little bit better about the lulls that were created by this floor rubber thing.
Yeah, we don't want to see anyone get hurt, but, you know, if they were to face plant, it would be live on stream, so which
correct.
You want to happen, you know.
I mean, allegedly.
Yes.
Allegedly.
I've noticed a couple people passed by so far, and they're aware of it.
So far, so good. I mean, it's also been here for a couple of days. Well, I mean, technically two nights in one day now. So
I did warn Diesel about it because I didn't want to see that beard must. I mean, if he face planted that
dude,
thing.
He trimmed the beard back. Yeah. Let me tell you what happened yesterday with these two fellas, all right? Love Cole and Diesel. Love them. They're my boys. See Money in the D-Train. Big fans. They walk in yesterday. So Jim Phillips was speaking at 1 o'clock, the commissioner of the ACC. And I got like three different topics that all come off of this. But Jim Phillips was speaking. I went up there. I sat through the majority of the press conference from Jim Phillips. And we're going to talk about some of the comments that he made, the commissioner of the ACC, that he made yesterday in his press conference. And then I came back down to the table. Diesel and Cole texted me. They're like, we're here. We're in the press conference. I said, great, me too. Meet you downstairs at the table when it's over to get them set up. Because it's a lot of the same equipment, but it's also a little bit of different equipment. I've got my own. They've got their own. And we just needed to make sure it was all copacetic. It was all working out great. So came back down here to meet at the table to make sure they were all set up and ready to run. And as I sat here at the table waiting for them, down the escalator come the on-air duo of C Money and the D Train, Cole and Diesel from Wire to Wire. First off, not only has Diesel, obviously, as you and I have commented on many times, he's a guy who's got to wear glasses now. Now, as a guy who's been wearing glasses for like 15 years now, I'm not in a spot to judge, but yesterday my dude came down and he's like me, so he has now matched the glasses to the shirts and the pants and the shoes. Like, he is accessorized top to bottom, the glasses. And then right behind him, down the escalator, as if he was about to announce his candidacy for the presidency of the United States, comes Cole Bryson. In dress pants. Y'all, I've known Cole Bryson for 3.5 years now? First time I've seen that man in not basketball shorts wearing pants. Number two, a collared, starched white dress shirt on top of the blue pants and a seersucker blazer to carry the whole look.
No way. No way. He went blazer?
He went not just blazer, Lonzo. He went seersucker, starched, put together. He walked down the stairs, walked up to me, and I said, I don't know who you're dressed more like. Like a South Carolina car insurance salesman, or like me when I go out with a fiance. Because it's one of those two things.
See, to me, when you're describing it, I'm thinking high school athletic director. But that's just
that's
you know,
fair too.
Yeah.
Fair too. And very fitting for Cole Bryson. Obviously, Cole Bryson, I would argue, the lead authority for high school sports in the upstate of South Carolina. And boy, howdy, he had the fresh fade up and tight on the head. He had the hair, what's left of it. He had it all producted up and, like, nice and fashionable. Man, my dude showed up yesterday like he was a damn professional. Diesel trimmed the beard. It's, like, real tight to the face now, Lonzo. He got rid of all the extra scruff. Like, right, it was so unbelievable. So, I'm like, we bring these boys out in public, and it looks like they care.
I'm gonna have to have a talk with Cole, though. So he wasn't wearing the station uniform.
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now.
That is required for remote activity.
If you made the starched white dress shirt and a seersucker jacket, the station uniform, I'd be all on board for it. I'd be all on board.
Not
for
me, because it would probably also require khakis, and we know how I feel.
No, he had on like blue dress pants. He looked very swanky, very swanky. Did his hair up and everything. It, like, got the fresh fade, got the trim, had the beard whiskers down tight. Like, he looked good.
I'll have to go check out the video and also see if he does a lot of putting his hand on his chin.
All right, we got a lot to get to today on the show. I'm going to start with this, and I'm going to start with this for two reasons. The first reason I'm going to start with this is because there's nobody else down here, so I'm going to say the awkward stuff first. All right, let's just get it out of the way at 6 a.m. before the ACC staff show up.
Turn around and make sure she's not back there taking pictures of you again. All right, you're good.
Yeah, we're in the clear.
You're good.
We're in the clear. Number one. Yesterday, I got the opportunity after the show was over to do a pair of interviews. I got to do two interviews. The first interview that we did was with Kevin Jennings. Now, Kevin Jennings is quarterback, kind of, for SMU. Here's what I mean. They also brought Preston Stone. I got a chance to talk to Preston Stone. The Preston Stone interview, I may run later on in the show. But the interesting thing, as we talked to the players and coaches from SMU yesterday, and this is, I'm gonna tell you right now, Lonzo, I alternate on the show between wearing my fan hat, not my station hat, but like the metaphorical fan cap we all put on when we are just being a fan of our team or a player or a coach or football or whatever. I'm going to put on my fan cap before I take it off and switch it back to my radio guy cap. As a fan cap, dude, I think I'm rooting against SMU this year. All right, I think I'm rooting against SMU. I think SMU might have joined the ranks of teams that, even though I have no connection to them at all, I'm rooting against them. We had yesterday on a side-by-side interview after the show went off the air. And it's another one that I'm like, maybe I'll run it, maybe I won't. I really haven't decided yet. We had Rhett Lashley, who is the coach, the head coach of the SMU Mustangs, the SMU Horsey Ponies, the brand new team to the conference. Now, if we have an athlete on and the athlete's like not a great interview, to me it's like whatever. All right, you get lucky and sometimes you get great interviews out of athletes. And then other times you don't because, you know, you're talking about 150 guys on a football team. Not all of them are going to be big-time extroverts like Lonzo, right? Like, not all of them are going to understand how to grab a microphone and immediately make radio history. It just doesn't work that way, okay? Right. It just doesn't work that way. So, to me, the Kevin Jennings interview we did, it was like the dude very clearly is here because he's a team leader. If you don't know much about SMU, last year, they had their starter quarterback, Preston Stone, who is back this year as the starter.
By the way, they went 11. I just looked it up. They went 11-3 last year.
A good team last year.
Yeah.
Like, good team. Air raid offense under Preston Stone last year. But he also, Preston Stone, their starting quarterback, he broke his leg last year. And so Kevin Jennings stepped in as quarterback, played two games, threw for like 650 yards and like seven touchdowns or something. I mean, a good replacement quarterback, to the point that he and Preston Stone are going to be running a two quarterback system for SMU this year. Preston Stone will get the majority of the snaps, but Kevin Jennings will step in because Jennings is a little bit more of a runner, a little bit less technical as a passer than Preston Stone. Whatever. Like, it is an interesting team that we are going to see in SMU. And Kevin Jennings, very nice guy, but just like you put the mic on him and he's kind of one of these cats that, like, Lonzo is like real soft spoken, real quiet, real short. He's like the opposite of me. Right? Like, just completely the opposite. Hey, man, you know, you're going to be one of the guys leading SMU into battle. SMU gets the opportunity to enter a Power Four conference. You come in after an 11-win season. Like, this team could be something this year. How do you feel about being on the inaugural ACC team, which is going to be a team that's going to be looked back historically? And Kevin was like, feels real good. Which is fine. Like, that's his answer. Cool. I'm not going to bang him down on that. Then we got Rhett Lashley, the head coach of SMU. And in trying to describe Rhett Lashley, nice enough guy, you know, walks up to the table, shakes my hand, you know, Coach Lashley. I don't know why it does. I don't know why that bothers me, Lonzo. It bothers me a lot when grown men command other grown men to call them coach. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind calling a coach coach. I don't care. Like, I'll call him Coach Sweeney, Coach Beamer, whatever. That's all well and good. But it, I am not going to call you coach if you walk up to me and go, I'm Coach Rhett. You're not my coach, man. Like, you're a coach, and that's great, but you're not my coach. So I don't know why that kind of just put me off a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why either. I mean, you know, it's his title. I mean, yeah. I prefer to be called executive. So I get it.
Yes, but also you're like, I work with and for you, right? So that makes sense. You are my executive producer, right? It would be
I'm the executive producer.
It'd be like this.
All right, so I'm acting just like the guy, but I'm not.
You are.
Because I'm the only one in the building with that title. I just want you to
I want you to know the ACC Media Days voice is going to come back because I just said you are, and I heard myself echo off the wall.
Oh, I heard it. We all heard it. It was awesome.
Yeah, so let's pull that back.
No, let's not pull that back. There ain't nobody there. I mean, come on. Do they have
TV? Three other people doing a show here.
Well, good for them.
So
well, you just were on their show, and their show got better when you were on
it. Let's not go that far. So he walks up to me. He sits down. He's like, Coach Lashley. I'm like, I'm not going to call you coach. I'm really not. So then we're having the conversation. I don't know if that's disrespectful or not. I don't think it is. So we're having the conversation, and this guy may have set the record for the most coach speak cliches in one interview that I have done in my lifetime. I'll give you one example. I asked him, I said, hey, listen, it is no secret the history of SMU. It is no secret that the concept of the death penalty in college football, that's you guys. You're the only ones, arguably, that have ever been nailed with the death penalty. The NCAA utilized SMU as a, this is what can happen to you if you don't play by our rules example, 34 years ago, whatever it was. I said, SMU has had a 3-decade path to get back to power level football. And you were the guy in charge of the football program as it makes its debut in the ACC. What pressure do you feel, if any, as the head coach to make sure that the inaugural season in the Atlantic Coast Conference of a program that has spent 3 decades trying to recapture its former glory in power level football, how much pressure do you feel? And the answer I got was, oh, you know, we don't really think about that. We just come out here to win the game. All right, dude. I mean, if that's your genuine, legitimate answer, fine. Like, okay, I'm not the type of radio dude that gets upset because an interview subject doesn't give me the answer that I want. Give me what I want. I don't get mad when a radio interview subject doesn't say what I want them to say, how I want them to say it. And I don't even know that. Scratch that. I do know. I didn't have anything in particular that I wanted him to say. But, like, I kind of thought if you're right now being celebrated on this campus, the guy that they trust to elevate your program when you have entered back into the world of Power 4 football, that, you know, it would mean something to you, right? Like, oh, it means a lot to me. Or, yeah, I know that there's a, you know, the eyes of history are on us. Basically, the best thing I got out of this cat in an 8-minute interview, great one. The best thing I got out of this cat was, well, we know that the other ACC schools are going to love coming down to Dallas because we've got great barbecue. That's the best I got. Well, I mean, it's good.
I mean, that's some personality right there.
Yeah. I mean,
also,
I guess.
Like, also controversial in to say that in the Carolinas.
Yeah, and that was, like, I didn't say that. I immediately wanted to be like, well, coach, you're going to have some work to do to impress me because I got to tell you, Carolina barbecue's grown on me a lot.
Maybe you should have done that, and maybe you would have got a little something
else
out of it.
Well, the problem was we get 7.5 to 8 minutes with these guys, and that was his, like, walk-off answer. And so, again, like, It's not that I feel that coaches have any responsibility to me or to us or to y'all to be characters or to inject any sort of energy or passion or gas into this. Like, they don't owe us anything as far as how they respond and what they say and yada, yada, yada. But I also kind of am like, I don't really need to run this interview. Like, he didn't say anything to me that really does anything for you guys or for us. And obviously, we're here to cover Clemson, okay? And coming up in the next segment, by the way, I have something relatively disparaging to say about Florida State. That'll be fun. We are here to cover Clemson, right? There's no bones about that. We know what we are. You know what we are. But to me, covering Clemson also includes covering the rest of the Southeastern Conference. And so when we get an opportunity to bring on programs, head coaches from programs, to come on and kind of give you guys a better feel about what this conference is going to be this year, I want to do it. But goodness, man, like, if we made another football story and another football movie about the poor, impoverished school that had to go across town and beat the rich white guy school, Rhett Lashley's the head coach of the bad guy school. Like, that's just what he is. Let's take a break. When we come back, let me tell you what Florida State did yesterday that honestly shocked me a little bit. And I don't really know how I feel about it. Lonzo and Rob and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to play bass in this band.
Could you?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. It's a good riff. Welcome back to Rob Brown Show's on your live on the his life. It's Tuesday. Yeah, I was in this room for over 12 hours yesterday. All right.
By the way, you're going to hear some killer bass tonight
and tomorrow night from my guy Brian Marshall. Do you know I went to high school with Brian Marshall, the bassist from Creed? Have I ever told you that before?
This is why I'm award-winning. I set that whole thing up.
Yeah,
and, you know, I shouldn't have to point that out, but I wanted to just because.
Well done.
Yeah, I know.
Well done. Teed it up for me.
By the way,
live.
I dreamt last night I was pole vaulting again, so I have no idea what that means.
Wait. The weird part is not the dream. The weird part is that you ended that sentence with again.
I've told you before that I pole vaulted. You push that out of your mind because you think of me as my size now. When I was smaller than you in high school and for part of my high school and absolutely I pole vaulted because nobody else would do it.
Okay,
and
hang on.
We were the crazy white boys because they're the only ones crazy enough to do it.
It is not that you pole vaulted. It is that you are having a recurring dream about pole vaulting.
It's not recurring, but
you just said I dreamed about pole vaulting again.
Well,
that's recurring.
Okay, all right. So it's not like it's happening every night, but any sport that I've ever done, sometimes I have dreams that I'm out there doing it again.
Okay.
I mean, it's dreams at night or dreams during the day. I mean, you always want to wish that you had one more game in you, one more run in you. And and it's probably because the Olympics are starting Friday.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, and pole vaulting is one of my favorite things to watch because I actually understand it a little bit because I did it.
Fair enough.
And not everyone can say that. So,
I'll tell you what else not everyone
By the
else
way, my
can
pole
say.
Vaulting in my dreams last night was horrible. I just want you to know that.
Did you wake up in a sweat and judge yourself for
missing? I missed the mat many times, which I did in real life once, and so maybe that's why I'm dreaming about it.
Do we have any therapist out there? We need to have a therapist live on the air to diagnose Lonzo.
Listen, that would be a series of shows.
It'd be a whole
probably would work better on another station.
A whole episodic podcast. All right. Let me tell you what happened yesterday, great one, and let me get your opinion on this, because me, Colin, Diesel all had three different takes on this. So yesterday we got our schedule of interviews. The ACC at the beginning of every day comes down and they email you a schedule and they say, okay, at this time, you're going to have this head coach, and at this time, you're going to have this player, and at this time, you're going to have this player. And those are hard times, right? They are going to sit down at your chair at the minute they say they will, and at the minute they say that interview is over, the ACC guy will walk over and give you the cut sign, and he will cut off an answer from a player to have him stand up and move to the next table. They are on a schedule, Jack. And you learn that. You play by the rules. As a radio host, it certainly tests your ability to make sure that you're running your interviews efficiently. So we got our schedule. And it was a little light on day one. We got Kevin Jennings. We got Rhett Lashley. And we got Brent Key of Georgia Tech. Now, what you'll notice is that on a day where the three teams being featured were SMU, Georgia Tech, and Florida State, you will realize there are no Florida State Seminoles players or coaches on the list that we received. And I thought, that is very interesting, because we put in a request for the interviews that we would like. We requested Rhett Lashley. We requested Preston Stone. We requested some of these cats. And you get some of the ones you want, and you don't get some of the ones you want. So, after the day started yesterday, all of our interviews were scheduled between the Rob Brown Show and Wire to Wire, and Brent Key was scheduled during Wire to Wire. So between the shows, Brandon McGinnis, who is the director of relations of media relations for the ACC, and a fantastic dude. Brandon's a great guy. I worked with him the last couple of years, worked with him this year. Phenomenal dude. Does an excellent job taking care of the media here. Brandon was walking around the media pit. I walked over. I shook his hand. I said hello. And after we talked for a minute, he said, I said, hey, we didn't get any Florida State guys on the schedule. Could I ask you to potentially add Mike Norvell? Because one of the things that happens is sometimes there's a scheduled radio hit and that station's not here or not available, or that station will say, oh, something came up, we can't do the interview, whatever. And what Brandon's job then becomes is to take whoever the subject is for that interview and pair him up with the new station in that 8-minute slot, right? So it's, basically what you do is every 15, 20 minutes, you go check in with Brandon McGinnis and you say, hey, you got anybody for me, right? And he'll bring you somebody over if they do. So I walked over and I said, hey, there's no Florida State guys on our schedule. I'd love to get a Florida State guy on. Can I grab somebody? I'd love to have Norvell on. And Brandon McGinnis said to me, and right next to me there is there's a Lawton Swann, who you guys know. I know he was on with Mark Ryan quite a bit. Lawton Swann's next to me. And I'll go ahead and shout him out. Our direct competition's over to the right of me, right? And so I said, can we get a Florida State guy? And he goes, you can't. And I went, oh, booked up? And he goes, no. And I said, oh, that's very interesting then. Why not? And he said, Florida State directly requested no interviews with any Clemson stations. I said, excuse the bleep out of me? And he said, yeah. He said, don't take it personally. And he said, it was a business decision. But Florida State directly said, we will not do interviews with any Clemson stations. I said, wait. Like, just Clemson stations? He said, yeah. Well, Lawton Swann heard that. He was like, what? He walked over because he was doing a broadcast at the time. He paused his recording, got up, walked over. He said, did you just say Florida State's not doing interviews with Clemson stations? And he said, yeah, that's what I said. And we were like, what is happening here? Diesel and Cole confirmed the same thing later in the afternoon when they got here. And I found that very interesting, because what we were not given, great one, was a reason why. We were not told why Florida State would do that. Now, there's only two reasons.
I just want to say, I am immediately offended, but go ahead.
You are.
Because we're not a Clemson station.
Fair enough. Fair enough. In fact,
that's why I'm offended.
However,
and if we're labeled that everywhere, we're doing something wrong, and I'm gonna have to step up my campaign.
I do not think it is Clemson Station so much as station that is within the Clemson footprint, and that we are. All right, you can't argue with geography. Now, I agree. We're not a Clemson station, just like we're not a South Carolina station, just like now we are Carolina Panther station. That is what it is. But
we're a Furman station. We carry Furman. That's what we are. Yeah.
So what they meant was obviously within the geographical footprint. Because while we are not a Clemson station, obviously we are here to cover Clemson. And saying anything to the contrary is just incorrect. So there's only two reasons that they would make that decision. Reason number one is because of DJ Uiagalelei, right? Like, they are trying. Now, for the record, DJ ain't here today. They didn't bring him. They didn't bring him with them, right? The DJ Uiagalelei said in an interview a couple of days ago that he was asked to come to ACC Media Days, and then said that he wanted to allow the guys who were on last year's team, who earned a playoff bid they never received, to come here and represent the school instead of him. He said, I just got here. I'm not a guy. I'm working into being a guy. There were guys here last year. There were guys that were on that team. There were guys that you know, were wronged. We're going to let them show up. And I respect the hell out of that from DJ Uiagalelei. But then I started talking to some people here, and there's a lot of people that, was it that? Or was it DJ just avoiding the pressure of being asked the hard questions? Was it that? Or was it DJ Uiagalelei, who has been here two times already before as a representative of the Clemson Tigers? Is it him avoiding the awkward slash confrontational questions?
That sounds like something a Clemson fan would posit. No, I don't believe that for a second. Because when he's been interviewed on this station, it's been a good interview.
Yes, as a Clemson guy.
And he would be a good interview as a Florida State guy.
I don't disagree.
Because he's just a good interview, no matter what school he's at.
But I do think that there is potentially, there is some level of the acknowledgement that if he sat down with a Clemson station, not us, but a Clemson station, which is here, if he sat down with a Clemson show that is to my left, there is no doubt that anyone who covered Clemson exclusively, even if DJ Uiagalelei is not here, if they were interviewing Norvell or they were interviewing Patrick Payton, a defensive end that was here, the questions would all be about that. There would be two types of questions. There would be questions about DJ Uiagalelei, and let's say it how they'd phrase it, the disappointment of his time, his tenure at Clemson. And there would be questions about the matchup between Clemson and Florida State in the regular season, which may or may not have massive ACC championship implications when that game gets played. The third possibility here, the second possibility is that there would be a lot of conversation and a lot of talk about the lawsuits. Because while Clemson and Florida State are obviously rivals on the football field, they've kind of formed this weird alliance off of it, right? These lawsuits being argued by Florida State and Leon County, Tallahassee, being argued by Clemson and Pickens County, South Carolina, and both of them together arguing against the ACC in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina. These two schools have become the unlikeliest. There it is. I'm good at this. The unlikeliest of allies in an arena that nobody really wants to be in. And I wonder if that was just a way to avoid football players and coaches being asked questions about lawsuits that they obviously don't have any knowledge of or inside information of. It just struck me as, I don't really know. Disappointing is one way. I don't know if it made me mad. I don't know if it bothered me, if it just upset me, if I just think it's dramatic or what. But Florida State told the ACC, we are not doing interviews with Clemson stations while we are there, which is why we have no noise from the Noles. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, live from ACC Media Days in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Rob Brown Show live from ACC Media Days in Charlotte, North Carolina is right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob and the great one, Lonzo. Trey said, are Clemson refusing interviews with FSU stations? I do not know the answer to that, Trey. We will find out on Thursday when Clemson comes to town. Dabo Swinney will be here. He is bringing Cade Klubnik with him. I will tell you that we have interviews scheduled with both of those gentlemen. We will record those. I do have my time. We will be speaking to Cade Klubnik and Dabo Swinney at 1:30 and 1:40 on Thursday. We will record those interviews. Diesel and Cole will run them back on Wire to Wire that afternoon. I will post them on our social media before I leave ACC Media Days on Thursday, and then Lonzo and I will break those interviews down when we return on Monday, as we are off on Friday.
All right, all right. I've got, so I don't want to cause any problems. I don't want there to be this to affect your interview with Dabo, but are you going to ask him? Are you going to ask him if, are you going to mention that Florida State has refused interviews with, I think you got to, don't you?
Yeah, but I mean, again, all the best Dabo can do is give me speculation and bulletin board material, which, don't get me wrong, great. Like, great, I'll take it, right? Like, that's always fun. Bulletin board material is fun, especially when you're the one that generates it. I think he's got to speculate, because right now, that's all we can do. There's, like I said,
I mean, that's fine with speculation. I think that's a question that needs to be asked. I really do. But
and that's fair. I mean, I very well will. And if you want me to, then I will. I will do so on behalf of the great one.
You can do it on behalf of me. I'm okay with that.
Fair enough.
I will take the heat for that.
Fair enough. So, I just, like I said, I think that's got to come about from one of two things. It's either A, to protect DJ Uiagalelei, who's not here, right? He didn't come, but to protect the players and Mike Norvell from having their quarterback thrown under the bus. And I'll say this, and I don't mean this any kind of way, but it is what it is. If you are a whatever station, right? You're a Clemson station, you're a Florida State station, you're a Virginia station, you're a local station. If you are a fan of whatever, if you're a radio station that covers a school, that does not mean you will not be critical of the school when it is required, or of the coach or of the team when it is required. It doesn't mean you can't give an objective breakdown, but you are fans. You are going to break it down from a silver lining perspective, and this is a very contentious year for those two programs. It is not just contentious on the field, where the two may face each other twice. There's a not just a very good, but I think the highest probability matchup for the ACC championship game is Florida State and Clemson playing a second time with a title and a bye week in the playoffs on the line, and potentially a bye week and perhaps elimination from playoff consideration on the line. If one of those teams beats the other and they play again in the ACC title game at the end of the regular season, it is possible that the loser of that ACC championship game doesn't make the playoffs as a two-loss team. If you go into that game 11-1 with a loss to the other, and then you lose to them a second time, and it ends up dropping you to 11-2, that may get you bumped from the playoffs this year. I don't think that's true if you're a team in the Big Ten. I don't think that's true if you're a team in the Southeastern Conference. But we learned last year, and you can fight me all you want, this is one of a very few times where I'm not going to say you can't change my opinion. I'm saying I've heard every damn argument repeatedly at this point, and no one has. You learned last year that the conspiracy theories that have been thrown out there, that the SEC and the Big Ten get bonus points, that the SEC and the Big Ten are favored, that the SEC and the Big Ten get special treatment from the selection committee of choice, playoffs or whatever, ranking, whatever. That conspiracy theory, as far as I'm concerned, got confirmed last year, okay? It got confirmed when a 13-0 Florida State team got left out for a one-loss Alabama team. It got confirmed as far as I'm concerned because it was the first time in the history of college football playoffs that an undefeated Power 5 conference team got left out of the ability to win a championship. It happened. That you can talk to me about Jordan Travis, and you can talk to me about the offense, and you can talk to me about backup quarterbacks, and you can talk to me about everything you want to talk to me about. The reality is it was the first time, for regardless of the reason, the first time that a Power 5 undefeated conference champion got left out of the playoffs. I just made Lonzo so mad he got up and walked away. So, I think now that we can say with some level of certainty that will happen again just further down the line. It'll happen again. It's just going to be that now it'll be an ACC team that's fighting for the 11th or 12th playoff spot that potentially gets bumped for an SEC or a Big Ten team that has the same amount of, if not fewer loss, or if not more losses, will get bumped out of that last playoff spot in favor. If we end up in a spot this year where there is an ACC team, let's say Miami. Y'all know I can't stand a hurricane, all right? I am openly hostile to the Miami Hurricanes. Let's say a hurricane. Let's say the Miami Hurricanes wrap up this year at 10-2. And let's say that they get to 10-2. They do not make the championship game for the Atlantic Coast Conference. That's FSU and Clemson. But Miami gets to 10-2. And let's say 10-2, they don't make a championship game. And over in, let's say, the SEC is Ole Miss. And Ole Miss ends their season 10-2 and does not make the championship game for the Southeastern Conference. You know Ole Miss is going in ahead of you, right? We just know that's going to be the reality. I would even say it's not lunacy to say that if Ole Miss is 9-3 and Miami is 10-2, Ole Miss might still go in over Miami despite having more losses. Why? Because it literally just happened. So Lonzo brought up in the last break when we were kind of talking about the about the reasons that Florida State might have avoided interviews with, quote, Clemson stations, end quote. His thought was maybe they're trying to avoid giving Clemson bulletin board material. Maybe they're trying to avoid saying something that they know that my colleagues on my left and my right, should Mike Norvell say something that is considered bleep talk about Clemson, right? You know that they're going to put that all over their radio station, and they're going to put it up on billboards, and they're going to send that segment over to the boys at Clemson, and that's going to be played in the locker room. Mike Norvell said blah 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 blah. Can you believe it? Now, do I think that's the case? No. Because it's a rivalry game. They've been playing this game with each other for a very long time. These types of things have been happening for years and years and years and years and years. And I've never not, at the 3 years we've done this now, going on four, I've never not had Florida State guys come through. We've had Jordan Travis. We've had Mike Norvell. We've had all these guys on the show. This is the first year they have said no. Now, this year's different than years gone by because going into last year, nobody, including Florida State fans, thought that team was going 13-0 and winning the ACC. And the years before that, we knew they weren't going to be good at all. This year, coming off of a 13-0 ACC championship season, they have expectations this year. The expectations for Florida State are to be right back in that ACC title game. The expectations for Florida State are win this conference, earn the playoff berth this year, get the bye. That's the expectations. So there is a different factor feel to what FSU is looking at coming into this year, Lonzo. I don't know if that's enough that would be the reason, which leads me to believe it is either A, they don't want nasty things being said about DJ because they're worried about how he'll take him. Will he get knocked out of that confidence zone, which we know he will. First game against Georgia, he got his ass kicked, and he was never the same guy, despite having tons of confidence on this show at ACC Media Day that year. He got hammered by Georgia, and he was never the same guy. And We know that he's been reactionary
before. I'm going to disagree with you there because I don't think the problems Clemson had was with him. Did they immediately get better when he was gone? Did the record improve?
That's fair argument. Not really, right? Not really. I mean, they made the switch. And again, I have said a number of times to Clemson fans, as much as you want to look at that period of Clemson football and go DJ Uiagalelei was disappointing, it's not exactly like the development or lack thereof of Cade Klubnik going into last year is anything that makes you scream, it was all DJ's fault, right? And I'm going to say right now, this is what I've been saying this entire offseason. This is a prove-it year for Dabo Swinney. His philosophy is going to be proven successful or not this year, and their ability to develop quarterbacks will be proven successful or not this year. But what I can say is I think there are still questions about the ability, development, mental toughness of DJ Uiagalelei. And I don't think those are unfair questions to ask. You will remember, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, there has been like two or three vendettas where I've been openly hostile to somebody on the radio. Conor McGregor is one of those guys. Although my dude popped off on Jake Paul the other day, and that made me very happy. All right. But Conor McGregor's a guy who's caught this smoke before. One of the other guys that caught the smoke was Big Dave, DJ Uiagalelei's dad. I said, I think you built this kid up to think that he's God's gift to football before he strapped on the chin strap for the first time. And that's how you get a guy killed. When they roll up, and remember, it wasn't just Dave. There was a story about Dabo circling Charlotte in an airplane while recruiting DJ and pointing down to the football field and going, that's where you're going to be throwing touchdowns, right? Like they had, I really do think, they had this kid convinced that he was just the heir apparent to the throne, right? That Sunshine was going to the league after a string of successful Clemson quarterbacks. Sunshine was going to the league. DJ was going to step in, and he was just going to be the next guy to wear the Tiger paw and succeed at quarterback and go win a Heisman. And he didn't develop. Right? So he goes to Oregon State. That pressure comes off. He doesn't have that pressure on him. He has a better year. Let's not say he was a Heisman candidate last year, but he had a better year. Now he goes to Florida State, and you're kind of in the mix. He's had 1 year to play and figure it out and develop without the pressure on him. Now he goes to Florida State, where there is immense pressure on him to fill the shoes of Jordan Travis and to take that team back to an ACC championship game. Was this Mike Norvell protecting DJ Uiagalelei, or was this Florida State going, we got these lawsuits, we got these distractions, Clemson is our football opponent, but our legal ally, and we don't want to create a world in which something gets said by one school or the other, by one group or the other, that makes all of that more complicated, which is why. And let's talk about this coming up in the next hour of the show. As much as they're all saying the Big Ten doesn't want Florida State and Clemson, the SEC doesn't want Florida State and Clemson, I don't believe that for a damn second. And I'll tell you why coming up in the next hour. But before we get to that next hour, Lonzo is about to show you why he has won multiple national championships in sports flashing.
Wow. I don't even know how to go. The Atlanta Braves dropped their third in a row yesterday with a 4-1 loss to the Reds. All-star Ronaldo Lopez took the loss, allowing 7 hits and 4 runs through 6 innings of work. The debut of rookie Nacho Alvarez went poorly as he went 0-for-4 for the plate. Atlanta is now 54-45 and 8.5 games back of Philly. The U.S. men's basketball team played in front of the largest basketball audience in London history and walked away with a win over current FIBA World Cup champion Germany, 92-88. LeBron James scored 20 points with 6 boards and 4 assists. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and of course, a whole lot of fun. And it's all Wire to Wire.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show, live from ACC Media Days in Charlotte, North Carolina, is right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob and the great one, Lonzo. Trey said, are Clemson refusing interviews with FSU stations? I do not know the answer to that, Trey. We will find out on Thursday when Clemson comes to town. Dabo Swinney will be here. He is bringing Cade Klubnik with him. I will tell you that we have interviews scheduled with both of those gentlemen. We will record those. I do have my time. We will be speaking to Cade Klubnik and Dabo Swinney at 1:30 and 1:40 on Thursday. We will record those interviews. Diesel and Cole will run them back on Wire to Wire that afternoon. I will post them on our social media before I leave ACC Media Days on Thursday, and then Lonzo and I will break those interviews down when we return on Monday, as we are off on Friday.
All right. I don't want to cause any problems. I don't want there to be this to affect your interview with Dabo, but are you going to ask him? Are you going to ask him are you going to mention that Florida State has refused interviews with, I think you got to, don't you?
Yeah, but I mean, again, the best Dabo can do is give me speculation and bulletin board material, which, don't get me wrong, great. Like, great, I'll take it, right? Like, that's always fun. Bulletin board material is fun, especially when you're the one that generates it. I think he's got to speculate, because right now, that's all we can do.
That's fine with speculation. I think that's a question that needs to be asked. I really do. But
And that's fair. I mean, I very well will. And if you want me to, then I will. I will do so on behalf of the great one.
You can do it on behalf of me. I'm okay with that.
Fair enough.
I will take the heat for that.
Fair enough. So, I think that's... that's got to come about from one of two things. It's either A, to protect DJ Uiagalelei, who's not here, right? He didn't come, but to protect the players and Mike Norvell from having their quarterback thrown under the bus. And I'll say this, and I don't mean this any kind of way, but it is what it is. If you are a whatever station, right, you're a Clemson station, you're a Florida State station, you're a Virginia station, you're a local station. If you are a fan of whatever, if you're a radio station that covers a school, that does not mean you will not be critical of the school when it is required, or of the coach or of the team when it is required. It doesn't mean you can't give an objective breakdown, but you are fans. You are going to break it down from a silver lining perspective, and this is a very contentious year for those two programs. It is not just contentious on the field, where the two may face each other twice. There's a not just a very good, but I think the highest probability matchup for the ACC championship game is Florida State and Clemson playing a second time with a title and a bye week in the playoffs on the line, and potentially a bye week and perhaps elimination from playoff consideration on the line. If one of those teams beats the other and they play again in the ACC title game at the end of the regular season, it is possible that the loser of that ACC championship game doesn't make the playoffs as a two-loss team. If you go into that game 11-1 with a loss to the other, and then you lose to them a second time, and it ends up dropping you to 11-2, that may get you bumped from the playoffs this year. I don't think that's true if you're a team in the Big Ten. I don't think that's true if you're a team in the Southeastern Conference. But we learned last year And you can fight me all you want. This is one of a very few times where I'm going to say, I'm not going to say you can't change my opinion. I'm saying I've heard every damn argument repeatedly at this point and no one has. You learned last year that the conspiracy theories that have been thrown out there, that the SEC and the Big Ten get bonus points, that the SEC and the Big Ten are favored, that the SEC and the Big Ten get special treatment from the selection committee of choice, playoffs or whatever, ranking, whatever. That conspiracy theory, as far as I'm concerned, got confirmed last year, okay? It got confirmed when a 13-0 Florida State team got left out for a one-loss Alabama team. It got confirmed as far as I'm concerned because it was the first time in the history of college football playoffs that an undefeated Power 5 conference team got left out of the ability to win a championship. It happened. That you can talk to me about Jordan Travis, and you can talk to me about the offense, and you can talk to me about backup quarterbacks, and you can talk to me about everything you want to talk to me about. The reality is it was the first time, for regardless of the reason, the first time that a Power 5 undefeated conference champion got left out of the playoffs. I just made Lonzo so mad he got up and walked away. So, I think now that we can say with some level of certainty that that will happen again just further down the line. It'll happen again. It's just going to be that now it'll be an ACC team that's fighting for the 11th or 12th playoff spot that potentially gets bumped for an SEC or a Big Ten team that has the same amount of, if not fewer losses, or if not more losses, will get bumped out of that last playoff spot in favor. If we end up in a spot this year where there is an ACC team, let's say Miami. Y'all know I can't stand a hurricane, all right? I am openly hostile to the Miami Hurricanes. Let's say a hurricane. Let's say the Miami Hurricanes wrap up this year at 10-2. And let's say that they get to 10-2. They do not make the championship game for the Atlantic Coast Conference. That's FSU and Clemson. But Miami gets to 10-2. And let's say 10-2, they don't make a championship game. And over in, let's say, the SEC is Ole Miss. And Ole Miss ends their season 10-2 and does not make the championship game for the Southeastern Conference. You know Ole Miss is going in ahead of you, right? We just know that's going to be the reality. I would even say it's not lunacy to say that if Ole Miss is 9-3 and Miami is 10-2, Ole Miss might still go in over Miami despite having more losses. Why? Because it literally just happened. So, Lonzo brought up in the last break when we were kind of talking about the about the reasons that Florida State might have avoided interviews with, quote, Clemson stations, end quote. His thought was, maybe they're trying to avoid giving Clemson bulletin board material. Maybe they're trying to avoid saying something that they know that my colleagues on my left and my right, should Mike Norvell say something that is considered bleep talk about Clemson, right? You know that they're going to put that all over their radio station, and they're going to put it up on billboards, and they're going to send that segment over to the boys at Clemson, and that's going to be played in the locker room. Mike Norvell said blah 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 blah. Can you believe it? Now, do I think that's the case? No, because it's a rivalry game. They've been playing this game with each other for a very long time. These types of things have been happening for years and years and years and years and years. And I've never not, at the 3 years we've done this now, going on four, I've never not had Florida State guys come through. We've had Jordan Travis. We've had Mike Norvell. We've had all these guys on the show. This is the first year they have said no. Now, this year's different than years gone by because going into last year, nobody, including Florida State fans, thought that team was going 13-0 and winning the ACC. And the years before that, we knew they weren't going to be good at all. This year, coming off of a 13-0 ACC championship season, they have expectations this year. The expectations for Florida State are to be right back in that ACC title game. The expectations for Florida State are win this conference, earn the playoff berth this year, get the bye. That's the expectations. So there is a different factor feel to what FSU is looking at coming into this year, Lonzo, I don't know if that's enough that that would be the reason, which leads me to believe it is either A, they don't want nasty things being said about DJ because they're worried about how he'll take him. Will he get knocked out of that confidence zone, which we know he will. First game against Georgia, he got his ass kicked, and he was never the same guy, despite having tons of confidence on this show at ACC Media Day that year. He got hammered by Georgia, and he was never the same guy. And we know reactionary.
Before. I'm going to disagree with you there because I don't think the problems Clemson had was with him. Did they immediately get better when he was gone? Did the record improve?
That's fair argument. Not really, right? Not really. I mean, they made the switch. And again, I have said a number of times to Clemson fans, as much as you want to look at that period of Clemson football and go DJ Uiagalelei was disappointing, it's not exactly like the development, or lack thereof, of Cade Klubnik going into last year is anything that makes you scream, it was all DJ's fault, right? And I'm going to say right now, this is what I've been saying this entire offseason. This is a prove-it year for Dabo Swinney. His philosophy is going to be proven successful or not this year, and their ability to develop quarterbacks will be proven successful or not this year. But what I can say is, I think there are still questions about the ability, development, mental toughness of DJ Uiagalelei. And I don't think those are unfair questions to ask. You will remember, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, there has been like two or three vendettas where I've been openly hostile to somebody on the radio. Conor McGregor is one of those guys. Although my dude popped off on Jake Paul the other day, and that made me very happy. All right. But Conor McGregor's a guy who's caught this smoke before. One of the other guys that caught the smoke was Big Dave, DJ Uiagalelei's dad. I said, I think you built this kid up to think that he's God's gift to football before he strapped on the chin strap for the first time. And that's how you get a guy killed. When they roll up, and remember, it wasn't just Dave. There was a story about Dabo circling Charlotte in an airplane while recruiting DJ and pointing down to the football field and going, that's where you're going to be throwing touchdowns, right? Like they had, I really do think, they had this kid convinced that he was just the heir apparent to the throne, right? That Sunshine was going to the league. After a string of successful Clemson quarterbacks, Sunshine was going to the league. DJ was going to step in, and he was just going to be the next guy to wear the Tiger paw and succeed at quarterback and go win a Heisman. And he didn't develop, right? So he goes to Oregon State. That pressure comes off. He doesn't have that pressure on him. He has a better year. Let's not say he was a Heisman candidate last year, but he had a better year. Now he goes to Florida State, and you're kind of in the mix. He's had 1 year to play and figure it out and develop without the pressure on him. Now he goes to Florida State, where there is immense pressure on him to fill the shoes of Jordan Travis and to take that team back to an ACC championship game. Was this Mike Norvell protecting DJ Uiagalelei, or was this Florida State going, we got these lawsuits, we got these distractions, Clemson is our football opponent, but our legal ally, and we don't want to create a world in which something gets said by one school or the other, by one group or the other, that makes all of that more complicated, which is why. And let's talk about this coming up in the next hour of the show. As much as they're all saying the Big Ten doesn't want Florida State and Clemson, the SEC doesn't want Florida State and Clemson, I don't believe that for a damn second. And I'll tell you why coming up in the next hour. But before we get to that next hour, Lonzo is about to show you why he has won multiple national championships in sports flashing.
Wow. I don't even know how to go. The Atlanta Braves dropped their third in a row yesterday with a 4-1 loss to the Reds. All-star Ronaldo Lopez took the loss, allowing 7 hits and 4 runs through 6 innings of work. The debut of rookie Nacho Alvarez went poorly as he went 0-for-4 for the plate. Atlanta is now 54-45 and 8.5 games back of Philly. The U.S. men's basketball team played in front of the largest basketball audience in London history and walked away with a win over current FIBA World Cup champion Germany, 92-88. LeBron James scored 20 points with 6 boards and 4 assists. Make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news, great guests, great debate, and of course, a whole lot of fun. And it's all Wire to Wire.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.